A plan to train would-be rural doctors at home in their local area is being mooted as a way to address the rural health crisis. The Rural Health Network, Haura Tai Whenua, is proposing a pilot scheme which would see local medical students receive the bulk of their training using distance learning with block courses at main hospitals. It's hoped this programme would encourage Māori enrolment too and also result in lower costs for students and ensure whānau support throughout the study. The Rural Health Network hopes establishing an additional 50 medical school placements for the scheme will increase the likelihood of graduates practising as rural GPs. Now, the country's GP network is under significant pressure. I'd be interested to hear from you about what your experiences are with trying to see a doctor in the rural areas of the country. 2101 to get in touch with us here in the studio. Also 9 to noon at rnz.co.nz to flick us an email this morning. And you can also find us on Twitter at 9 to noon. Now, yesterday we reported New Zealand's doctors were the most burnt out in a survey of medics from 10 similar countries. And meanwhile, half the GP workforce is intending to retire within the next 10 years. And the situation for rural GPs is even more acute, where the shortages are particularly pronounced. Well, with us this morning, Grant Davidson, the Chief Executive of Haura Tai Whenua, the Rural Health Network, and also Dr. Brian Betty, Medical Director of the Royal College of GPs. Kia ora korua.
Morena, Susie.
Thank you for being with us this morning, Grant, on this one. Just give us a sense of exactly what this proposal is that you're putting forward.
Well, first of all, as you've outlined to your listeners, there is a massive shortage of GPs in the country overall, and that is accentuated in rural areas, such that the rural health outcomes in those areas trail urban outcomes significantly. Māori rural, for example, have 200% amenable mortality rates compared to, or worse mortality rates compared to urban New Zealanders. So it's tragic. What we need to do is fix that. What's happening at the moment isn't working. So we're simply not training enough GPs to start with. We're not training enough medical students. And the number of people choosing rural on top of that is way lower. So we've got to do something to reverse the trend. We've got to put a circuit breaker in. We are about solutions. We will work with any government to work on those solutions. So our group got together in Christchurch, 400 health professionals said, the evidence from overseas points to the best way to ensure rural people stay rurally is to train rural people in their rural areas by rural academics. So that's the genesis of the project. It's evidence-based. We want to see it start in New Zealand. And it can't get to the end point, end vision overnight, but we can start tomorrow.
Okay, so very much about keeping people in their areas wherever possible here. Who would actually be delivering this course?
The medical schools, and we've met with the medical schools to see if this is possible. They can do this program. They can do it starting tomorrow if necessary on a staged a way. But so we would combine the rural academics from the two medical schools, set up a joint department of rural health, and then have part-time teachers, researchers in the rural areas associated with their practices who are able to train people locally.
So the intention would very much be for the students to be studying here and becoming GPs specifically in rural areas. What if you got a couple of years into the study and actually realised that you still wanted to be a medic, but actually you'd quite like to be a surgeon or you'd quite like to be a gynaecologist?
For sure. The training is still generic doctor training, so you could jump out at any point. We're just hoping that those people who would enter the program have a higher likelihood of completing with the end goal of being a GP in a rural area.
And what would the qualification be that these doctors were getting? Would it be the same equivalent to what you would get coming out of Otago or Auckland medical schools?
Exactly the same degree, exactly the same quality of program, quality assured by the same departments. It's just that they would be doing practicums in those areas close to whānau and community. They would then carry on, do their postgraduate years community-based, and then their GP fellowship through the college, and I believe Brian's on the line, again, in those rural communities. So immersion in rural and in general practice has got a greater outcome of general practitioners falling out of the program.
Okay, so it would have also an eye on increasing Māori enrolment. Is that because you're are you seeing evidence that Māori are not as keen, not as likely to pursue a medical career through either of the current medical schools?
Well, to be fair, the current medical schools have got a mirror on society type enrolment program now, and I know that Otago and I think Auckland are up to 20% Māori enrolment. Mm-hmm. The reality is that the percentage of Māori on those programs, while that 20% reflects the population of 16.5%, the rural Māori on those programs is less than half of the equivalent percentage of rural. So the opportunities for rural Māori are not there to even get selected to the programs, even though we've got this preferential selection process. We're training urban Māori.
Right. OK. And so this is an option where people would be able to stay within their whānau, within their communities. I guess then it wouldn't be, for example, such a huge financial commitment to be putting yourself forward to go to medical school.
Yeah, correct. We, our Māori advisors are saying that a lot of the barriers are A, finance, and B, the whānau support, having to leave your whānau. And that's two ways. Many of these talented young people are supporting their whānau while they're there, as well as getting kaumātua support from their whānau in the opposite direction. So encouraging that as much as possible.
What about the other side of the support? Would it be potentially isolating to be away from other students? And I mean, I know we've sort of proved because of COVID that the content of the course can be delivered online largely, but you wouldn't be with other people who are going through the same experience as you. Would that have any downsides?
Well, the idea is that we would form local hubs so that there would be peer support in those local areas, and the end game is to have interprofessional training. So nurses, Kaia Whina, Allied Health would all be training, and there'd be quite a support network across what would end up being the general practice team. So that, and that's the focus nowadays is not just on a GP, but how the whole team delivers primary care to their communities.
Mm. Would people end up being bonded to particular areas?
Well, that's up to the government, but we think the communities who we're saying would have us help in the selection of and identification of the right people to go forward would see a requirement or a commitment from those people to come back and work in those communities sometime in the future, even if it isn't straight away.
Brian, Betty, I'd like to bring you in at this point. Kia ora, thank you for joining us on 9 to Noon this morning. What is your response to the proposal that's been put forward?
Oh, look, the college is fully supportive of what's happening here. There is a workforce crisis. I totally agree with Grant. What we're seeing is rural traditionally has had difficulty attracting GPs. We're actually now seeing that across the country in urban areas as well. So this is a matter of urgency, I think, to rectify this problem. And as Grant quite rightly points out, all the evidence says that if you can start to train medical students in rural communities, in rural areas, your retention rates tend to be higher. And also with that focus on the community medical aspect of it, which is general practice and GPs, we tend to have more flowing through into the general practice postgraduate program. So the college is fully supportive of this initiative.
How confident are you that the requisite standard and experience could be obtained this way?
Absolutely confident. I mean, the universities are right across this. They're right across the international research, what's required to ensure that those who are immersed in a rural community get the same standard, the same qualification as their urban counterparts. In fact, a lot of the evidence overseas, if you look at Australia, says that those medical students who do participate in these rural programs ended up with a greater depth of knowledge and broader range of knowledge because of their experience are running these programs. So I'm very, very confident that this will be a very, very beneficial and equivalent program to anything we're seeing at the moment.
And you're confident that this again could be stood up really very soon if the government said, yes, we want it. Could you have people starting in February?
Whether it was that quick, we'd have to see, but the universities are right on side with this in terms of getting this going, and they could, I think, click this over very quickly. As I said, there's a support of the rural network, which Grant represents, and the college is fully behind this process. So again, there's been combined meetings over this, a combined position. The government needs to come to the party on this to move this forward. And I think in terms of the GP number, a crisis, I will use that term because that's what it is at the moment. This is really, really required. And the sooner we start to kick this off, the sooner we're going to start to see the long-term benefits of this type of approach.
The current reliance, I mean, not just in New Zealand, it is a worldwide issue, but the current reliance on doctors coming in from other countries, how concerned are you about that situation?
Oh, look, I'm very concerned. We know that 40% of our medical workforce is overseas trained, and New Zealand is incredibly reliant on that workforce. What we've seen over COVID, when the borders have closed, is suddenly that workforce dried up, and the underlying deficit in terms of GP numbers we have in this country. So we run about 72 full-time equivalent GPs per 100,000. Australia, it's 118 per 100,000. So we are already in deficit, but drying up the overseas trained doctors has really brought this to the fore, and the stress we're seeing across the sector at the moment, and this has been reported in both international research and the research we're doing here, is significant. So, we need to train and we need to have processes in place to ensure that more New Zealand graduates are moving into general practice. We need the volume coming through the medical schools into general practice to increase in order to maintain our GP numbers and grow them.
Why has there been a drop-off in interest in people taking the general practice pathway?
This has been growing for a number of years now. The government's been warned about this, but there really hasn't been a long-term sort of strategic look at what was actually going on. So for this year, the government's just increased the funding for postgraduate training in general practice to about 300 places. And we have about 300 training practices across New Zealand. This year, we've got about 182. Now, we need 300 a year just to maintain our numbers, and this is the situation we've fallen into. But we've had these anomalies in the system. So what's been happening is a doctor choosing or a junior doctor choosing the general practice program up until about 6 weeks ago was paid less by the government to do that than if they worked in a hospital. So there was quite a substantial pay parity issue between the pathways you chose. And certainly that was forcing many of our graduates to choose hospital-based training rather than general practice. The other thing that traditionally has been a real, real problem here, and I think this goes some way to starting to address that, is there's traditionally been very little exposure to general practice in the undergraduate years, that is at universities, or those first couple of years out of university when they're working as junior hospitals in the hospital system. And this is really problematic because if the only thing you see is hospital-based medicine, you don't get to experience and start to think about community-based medicine, which is different, is very challenging, is a great career. But again, the exposure has traditionally been very low. So we need to address those fundamental issues.
I'm sort of wondering, when hearing about the various stresses and strains on the system, whether 50 students is going to be enough?
Oh, look, I mean, we could increase the number. I think it's a starting point. I think it's a very good starting point. It's achievable. It's doable. The sooner we move on this, the better.
If this doesn't happen, if it's something that the government doesn't press the go button on, what will happen?
We've got a situation at the moment where, again, against international benchmarks, we don't have enough GPs in the country, and that's really, really having an impact in rural areas and high needs areas and urban areas now. What we know that if you don't support your general practice sector or rural medicine sector, that overall the health of New Zealanders will deteriorate. All the international evidence points to that. You end up putting more pressure on your hospitals, as we've actually seen in EDs around the country at the moment, where there's a shortage of GPs and pressure on EDs and hospital goes up, and you actually cost the system more. I think traditionally in New Zealand, we haven't thought enough about workforce issues and strategically thinking ahead and what we have to do as a sector to improve the situation. the opportunity is here now, and we need to act on it. And I think this is critically important because, as one of the surveys, international surveys that's just been done, and another one that the college did a couple of years ago, 50% of our GPs are looking at retiring before 2030. We need to act now. And I think there is a sense of urgency around this.
I suppose people will probably remember a few years ago there was the proposal for the for Waikato University to have a sort of school of rural medicine. Is this something that is effectively to replace that idea, which didn't get out of the blocks?
Oh, look, I don't think that's the case. I think this is a very workable idea that could be kicked off very, very quickly. I think establishing a third medical school is a big, big piece of work. It'll take time to have that happen. I think Auckland and Otago are ready to push the button on this and start to move ahead very quickly if they had the support and obviously the funding to do it. So, no, I don't think that's the case at all, Susie. I think this is about just moving the whole situation forward as efficiently and as quickly as possible.
Because the situation with GPs, how critical is it for the sort of the holistic health and well-being of people, of whānau, to have a good, long-standing, respectful situation and relationship with their family doctor?
It's critically important. All the international research, if you start to look at it, points to where you don't have that relationship with a general practitioner or a medical centre, either in a rural area or an urban area, that essentially health outcomes are worse. And essentially what you see is a shortening of life expectancy as well in some of the international research. So as it is the absolute backbone of the New Zealand health system. And again, access to a general practitioner and access to continuity that is seeing the same doctor who gets to know you, takes a holistic approach over time, leads to less emergency department presentations, less admissions to hospital, and less morbidity. So again, the research backs us up, and we need to look internationally around what's been done around this issue and start to ask these very fundamental questions. So for the health of New Zealanders and outcomes for New Zealanders, this is a critical issue that we've got a strong, well-resourced, well-workforce resourced sector with highly specialised, qualified GPs that can address the frontline health needs of New Zealanders.
Grant Davidson, coming back to you on all of this, how would you ensure that students were going to be able to gain enough experience?
Oh, in fact, through this approach, they'd actually gain more experience rather than less. So I don't think that's an issue. Can I just reflect on the question you asked about the Waikato proposal that you asked Brian about? I mean, Brian's right. There is room in this for an and situation. We need to be qualifying a lot more GPs, not just 50. The 50 are targeted to rural in this proposal. New Zealand has about 10 places in their medical schools per 100,000 population. Australia, 15 per 100,000 population. That means if we want to get to a medical care system equivalent to Australia's, we could double the intake at medical schools. Currently, medical schools each year between the two of them have 550 domestic students, 50 internationals. So doubling that means 300 extras. 50 is a small part. Those schools, I believe, went to the minister last year saying they had immediate capacity for 50 each because of the lack of
50
overseas.
More each.
50 more each, right? Because of the lack of overseas students through to COVID. You know, that's been backfilled now, but they are saying we could do the 50 rural now. There's still room for a Waikato initiative, which would be much longer and much more expensive than the option that's being presented here.
But the option that you're presenting here, I guess, also would it be reasonably straightforward to scale that up so that you could have, I mean, you're saying 50 now, but could you potentially have 200, 300 people training through this pathway?
You could have that many people training nationally, but there isn't the talent pool currently, unfortunately, in rural areas. The NCA marks and through rural schools, unfortunately, is less than those in urban schools. Mm-hmm. So part of our proposal is to put in STEM, scientific, technological, engineering and maths training into schools at senior level with tutoring and mentoring so that those rural students have the opportunity to get to a grade which will make their success at medical school much more assured. So it's we're proposing a multi-tiered approach from school right through to the fellowships at the college that Brian's suggesting.
So far, I know this is early days on the proposal, but what sort of response have you had from Te Whatu Ora, Health New Zealand, and from the minister on this?
So we've got a meeting. The minister's been quite silent up to now. We've got a meeting with him in early December where we're putting the proposal that we're crafting with the two medical schools and the college so that we know that whatever we put in front of them will be supported by the groups that need to make this work on the ground. Te Aka Whai Ora are very supportive of this because they can see some real positives mm-hmm. for Māori in those communities. And we're waiting to hear back from Te Whatu Ora about their... The issue is they can't publicly say too much because it's going to be a political decision in the end if more funding is allocated.
Now, obviously, having the college on board and indeed the two medical schools on board are significant. What do you think could be some of the challenges, some of the resistance that you might come up against?
Because there's such a workforce shortage across the whole health system, there might be a why you and not us. You know, we're seeing in the media every day there's a shortage of oncologists. Every form of health professional is in need. But unless we start at primary care, the Paiora legislation, the Act, is all about putting a focus back with the ambulance closer to the top of the cliff than the bottom. And we're seeing the effect of that not being realised when ED departments are swamped. We think that general practice has got to be the priority. Primary care in the community has got to be a priority. And we have to have equity for rural in that. So we think we've got a strong case to make this the number one priority for workforce initiatives.
I suppose when particularly it is rural communities, poorer communities, Māori communities being let down, does that mean that not taking this initiative up could potentially be constituting a breach of the treaty?
Well, the Y2575 claim, which is about Māori equity within the health system, clearly shows that we're not meeting their requirements now. So I think that's already been proven, Susie. What we've got to do is something that Māori support, and the initial feedback we have and their help in the development of this is that it would have strong Māori support.
Ngā mihi, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us on 9 to Noon this morning. I would be very interested to know what you are thinking at home, listening to this, wherever you might be this morning. Do get in touch with us here at 9 to Noon 2101 to let us know what your story is within the rural health system. Also, 9 to Noon at rnz.co.nz. Thank you very much, Grant Davidson, Chief Executive of Haora Tai Whenua, the Rural Health Network, with us. And also there you were hearing from Dr. Brian Betty.